Once again, Mark Stanton Welch here. This is the 17th of November, 2015. Tools for the Times. We are on Block 3, Session 5. Two more sessions in this particular block, and then we'll be heading home in the fifth block, or the fourth block. I'm excited about it, all this new information coming in. But tonight we're looking at, again, prayer, conscious connection. So I'm going to start out the experience here with a song. It was written in the year 2000. I pray at the altar. I pray when I breathe. I pray in the car. I pray in dis-ease. I pray when I'm eating, I pray when I fall, I pray unto God, I pray down the hall, I just pray, 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 I just pray, 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 oh Lord, hear me pray. I pray with intention, I pray with my jokes, I pray with my kindness, love, and when I emote. I pray when I'm needy and when I'm okay. I pray for the people, I pray when I quake. I just pray, pray, pray. I just pray, pray, pray. Pray. I pray to relax. I pray when I sing. I pray with my tears. I pray to the unseen. I pray with my voting. I pray wishfully, expectant and yearning, I pray A to Z. I just pray, pray, pray. I just pray, pray, pray. Oh, Lord, hear me pray. I just pray, I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna pray. I just pray, 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 oh Lord, hear me pray, oh Lord, hear me pray, oh Lord, hear me pray. Prayer. The process of communicating with the cosmos, with the source. Some will say that prayer is actually it's the process of talking to God, to source, whereas meditation is the process of listening to source. And in some ways they go hand in hand. They can be completely separate processes, but in many ways they are in union with one another because they create the circle and they complete the circle. So in a sense, as we talk about prayer and begin to look at the variations that are contained within it, we are also beginning to see about the beautiful process of being receptive. As we give out our intentions, as we make our requests, we intend and in some ways expect or invite in information, insight, forms, etc. to be in answer to our prayer. So we'll begin to look at this because prayer is one of those things that's been bantered about and really utilized and in some ways abused by established religion. The most difficult challenge we have, and again, I'm just throwing a bunch of stuff off the top before I actually get into the content of what I wrote so far. Too often we are told, and again, this is a Piscean element of the right and correct way to do these things. And too often we are told there's a right and correct way to do prayer, when in reality, you know, there's a lot of different techniques, but quite honestly, the very act of intending and doing something along the lines of prayer is enough to create and establish the connection. We'll see the misdirections we were given over time, and I know you're aware of this, but we'll go ahead and remind ourselves anyway of that. Even as I speak here, I'm reminded of a song that I did with the Celestine Prophecy when that book came out so long ago, for you who remember that particular one, by James Redfield. Let me see if I can get this. This is the impact, and actually it was really in so many ways about the nature of prayer and about some of the ways that were established back then by basically creating the idea that most humans did not have a direct connection with the source, with the source of the cosmos, call it God, call it whatever you will. And therefore there had to be intermediaries, there had to be these priests, if you will, the ones who would actually intervene for us, and they'd go ahead and ask God and take your prayers to God, and then sometimes they'd come back and say, God said no. It reminds me of the Wizard of Oz when they were trying to get into Oz the first time, and they asked and they said, this is Dorothy. Oh, the Dorothy. Yes, it was written across the sky there by the witch's broom, and the man comes back, the gatekeeper, and he says, the wizard says, go away. It's the same kind of thing. And over time, with enough of that, we began to forget that we really all are designed to have the perfect connection. We are designed with our own personal modem, the modem that interfaces with the cosmos. But back then, here's an example of some of what I wrote based on one of the tenets in James Dillard Freeman's work. He said, let's take a stroll through time. 1,000 years would be just fine. Back to the long ago where you and I began. Let's see the turns we've made from middle times to modern age. How who we are today so long ago began. Dark Middle Ages, the church turned the pages and spoke with insistence of God in the distance, teased us with heaven, controlled us with hell, kept us in classes well under their spell. They held out salvation if we towed the line. With God tugging wildly, the devil held on. The churchmen interpret, and we would respond. For 500 years we were helpless and bending, till churchmen who held that straight beeline to God were stealing and lying and living in fraud. In hasty rebellion we ran from the fold and found ourselves godless and lonely and cold. Yes, let's take a stroll through time. There's a historical element that alienated all of us from our own connection. And you can call it the New Age, you can call it metaphysics, you can call it what you want, but those elements themselves began to open up that box that we were all put in. And so when we look at prayer tonight, we're not looking at inviting someone or doing a correct prayer in a certain way and then giving it to someone so they can represent us. We're talking about direct communication. And you can say it's with your higher self. You can say it's with the source of the all that is. You could be talking to angels specifically. You can have prayers and communication with the various elemental kingdoms on this planet. But the point is that we step inside and outside of ourselves at the same time to make the grander and the more beautiful connection that has always been available to us. And in that process, what we do is we reinforce our capacity to know that that there is oh so much more for us. You know, I'm hearing a little bit of noise out there, so on the count of three, why don't you go ahead and speak your name out, and if I hear your name, then I'll just invite you to star six. One, two, three. Oh, I heard a click, though. Okay, great. Okay. You know, I'm stumbling just a little bit because I'm looking for a particular song that I had. It was written a long time ago. It may be that I just bring it up from next week. Okay, I'm going to let go of that. Let me go ahead and start looking at what it is that I actually have here. So now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just lost my page. I pray for the Lord to give me back the page that I have with all the information on it. Okay, there it is. Thank you, Lord, for these gifts we are about to receive from thy bounty. God, help me take this away. God is on our side. Ready, aim, fire. My Lord, smite down mine enemy. God, please make her mine. Why me, Lord? Why me? On and on they go. These supplications of the divine to intervene on our behalf. Typical when the has hit the fan, or we feel overwhelmed and are calling out, excuse me, as a last resort. Prayer, a powerful spiritual tool that has as many interpretations as there are religions, practices, and people. Used, misused, abused, and manipulated. Welcome to the world of prayer. Children are taught prayers that reflect the religious preferences of the parental units. I just love that Saturday Night Live Conehead phrase, parental units. I will continue to use it because what could be better for that? No offense, parents. The culture demands devotion and force feeds rhetoric. And you know it as, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, for liberty and with liberty and justice for all. Boy, I haven't said that in a while. But look how it's infiltrated and still is in a little memory bank up there in the brain. A little door open and out came the Pledge of Allegiance. And who knows what the heck it means. It's kind of like the one, excuse me, it's kind of like Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When's the last time we said that and really paid attention to what it was saying or what it meant or what it meant to us more specifically? It's curious. Words of substance are repeated into meaningless dogma over and over because we've lost their soul connection with those kinds of activities. Most have lost the power of prayer or never even actually knew what it could do because their personal relationship with it was taken away. Where do you stand with it? What has been your history? Is it even part of your moments of living anymore? This is worth reflecting upon because if it's coming from what you were taught, there's a good chance you have laid that technique down. And it doesn't serve you unless in a moment when things are going crazy, like when I was driving up here and was in a rainstorm and the car in front of me hit a puddle and just shot all that water and completely blinded me in the windshield there. There was a moment where those are the God moments, right? We seek support. We seek those moments. There ain't nothing wrong with that because obviously it worked because here I am on the phone. But those moments of speaking out, of calling for those kinds of frequencies, speaking, calling frequencies. That was my daughter calling in there. Apologies for that. We send her lots of love. In those moments where we call out, like Gandhi when he got shot, according to the movie, when Ben Kingsley went, "Oh God," when as he was shot, that his attention was so in alignment, as they say, with the spirit, with the force, if you will, that rather than having any other kind of expletive, he just celebrated the fact that it's all God. So how are you in that kind of an awareness? The whole point of Tools for the Times has been to open us up to the greater understanding and the release and the reawakening of the basic being that you and I are by design, and give us back our unfettered connection with the cosmos. And to some degree, it's worked. We're now reaching a place in the actual process of what we're doing where we're starting to step outside of our own being to begin to make sure that we are connected on all levels and we have with us the tools that will make our moments smoother and to help us remember who we are as often as can be possible. When I look at the page in front of me, which is not presentable to you yet, I look at the topics I have. We're going to cover tonight prayer, the art of going within, types of prayer, and then because there are so many, another topic called more types of prayer. And then we're going to look probably next week at the practice of conscious connection, another topic called into the mystic, another called listening to and expanding guidance, and then the always present and assortment of prayers. We'll have some empowerments in the prayer form. We will also look at resources for prayer in terms of the books. Now, when I went on Amazon.com, you can imagine that most of the books on prayer were coming from a very traditional Christian perspective. There's a classic that I borrowed upon, not as much as I thought it was going to, but it's a book by a New Thought author, Marion Williamson. It came out somewhere in the 90s called Illuminata. And Illuminata was a process, she calls it thoughts, prayers, and rites of passage. And I've used it for many years in one way or another, mostly for the rites of passage. Plus, she had some perspectives on prayer, and I'm not sure where she was coming from at that time, but it's really leaning in more of a traditional way in the relationship with the God source as the him and the he and the separation of those energies. So a lot has happened since then. I would imagine if she rewrote this in the new framework of what she's become aware of, we would have different perspectives. So we're just going to have to imagine that she has come down the line here and opened up to some new frequencies. I'll tell you honestly, what I used in here most to great result was an empowerment process where it was in prayer form, but it really was a healing between the sexes, between the male and female. And when I've had groups that contain a more equal amount of male and female, I would use this a lot, is to put them on either side and invite them to repeat the prayer. And what they're doing is really honoring one another and asking for forgiveness and offering forgiveness. And it's a beautiful, beautiful process that it helps to soften and to help to release some of those energies. Because let's look at what prayer is. In its traditional form, it really is either one, that process of seeking help, and its emotional content is based upon the intensity or the severity of the need in the moment. Too often, people turn to God as a last resort, which means they turn to an alternative source of awareness as a last resort. Prayer was also about celebration or elevating or worshiping a particular deity. And so if I remind that deity over and over about how much I really dig him or her, then there's a good chance that I may, as an alternative intention, get some extra bonuses. It's a curious relationship because the problem is that most people, at least in Western civilization, don't live a spiritual life. And what I mean by that is really something that I saw in India when I went there. One of the most powerful things was the way that the spiritual life was really 24/7. And everything, in a sense, that I saw with the people who were there, be they peasants, be they beggars, be they business people, be they, you name it, the common folk, the celebrated folk, the leaders, etc. Although I didn't see many leaders, but spirituality and their connection with spirit and the divine was a common element that went through all their days. And so their movements, their interactions with one another were often based upon this understanding and acknowledgement. And I found that powerful. And I looked at the time, which is going on about 8 or 9 years ago, that at the time, my particular religious practices were really based upon the things that I would work with and teach. And then in my moments of living, quite honestly, and I have to own this, is I wasn't necessarily beseeching God unless I had some stuff going on and I needed some new information. But what I've discovered in the process of doing this particular topic is that there's a lot more going on than I even realized back then, which was not that long ago. The expansive energies coming in have invited me and invited all of us to look beyond what have been the forms that we were used to. And that is making all the difference. You'll notice that as we walk through this course, we started with painting the picture of how things have been and in a sense of what's unfolding in these new times. And then we started looking at specifically how can we facilitate that process for each of us in our own particular way based upon some common ideas that we're beginning to show. We've come a very long way. And tonight as we look at prayer and I start talking here about the art of going within, we look a little more deeper and more expansively at the nature of things and at the nature of an element that has been common. There's no need to spend more time on the way prayer has been used and manipulated because it does no good right now. We have the awareness, and now we're going to see how can we use a powerful process to the best of our capacity and awareness to make the biggest difference in our moments first and to also bring a higher vibration to the planet, which in a sense is really just the result of the work that we do on ourselves. It's a natural offshoot. Okay, it says we are not alone. Never have been. Never will be. We have been taught to think we are, to believe that we have been cast adrift in some way, and that our behavior determines whether or not we will be rescued. Some are, many are not. Really? This is simply a man-made limitation that has been perpetrated upon the willing for thousands of years. It is wrong. The intermediaries, the priests, and the many world religions have acted as go-betweens because we, the common folk, do not have the capacity to connect with spirit, to talk with God. Well, we know the results of this and how too many religions and holy men have become soiled and tarnished, manipulative, opportunistic, controlling, arrogant, and downright abusive. Too many have been killed in the name of my God, who is better than yours, and there simply is no room for both. Okay, there we have. And in that is prayer. May God be on our side. As God is on our side, ready, aim, fire. How often has that been manipulated? And even in these recent elements, these recent occurrences in Paris, I will bet dollars to donuts, the old great saying, that those who perpetrated these acts believed they were being supported by their God. And they did it, in a sense, for that divine purpose. Just as the Marines, when they go in, oftentimes there's an element of God being favorable. It's even played out on the athletic battlefields when an athlete has done something pretty spectacular and they point up to God as if God smiled on them in that moment and answered their prayer to make them successful. What is lacking from all of these perspectives is the honest relationship with God that said in the time when the man who was not able to block the pass and the other player scored on him, he did not look up and appreciate God for the very fact of him failing in that moment, so to speak. We have a relationship. We've been taught a relationship with the source that is conditional. And we see over and over again the results of it in the way people treat one another. Now, I understand a rainstorm and driving with thousands of cars is not really a good recipe for a fun time. It wasn't a bad experience. The challenge came when I reached a point where I had to get into a lane in order to turn onto the road that I needed to get on. But there were at least seven cars that were wanting to do the same thing, and they did everything they could to scoot around me and prevent me from getting in there. I will admit it caused me to have some sort of expletive, because it was just downright frustrating that no one would let me in. Maybe they all had, a spouse at home who was going into labor. I don't know, but I didn't think that in that moment. And my real prayer was really for someone to basically have a heart. It didn't really happen, and I had to force myself to push myself into that, and I took battle in that moment and survived. It's a curious process. So, as I say here, enough of that. We must abolish such beliefs on all energetic levels within us. The truth is simply that we do not need an intermediary to connect with God, to connect with Source. It is in our design to communicate directly and easily with the creative Source. We do so through prayer and meditation. Prayer is talking to God while meditation is listening. In practice, they blend well with one another in the act of conversing with Spirit. They open the channels within to access the whole of I Am that resides in all places. Opening to this idea is paramount to accessing the guidance and support that is bequeathed us at birth. So the sooner we decide to utilize the resources that we were given at birth, the more quickly we create this ongoing, natural, interactive relationship with the cosmos. We have to sidestep some old beliefs. We have to sidestep the idea that we pray outward, that we pray to the guy in the sky with the beard, and is it a good day, God? Are you going to be in a good mood so that I can get what I want? Just give me the lottery numbers, God. Please give me the lottery numbers. You know, we've all been in that place, and the tendency is often to slip right back into what we have done for thousands of years. Until now, the energy of the times is really forcing us to rethink, because the thoughts don't fit the vibration anymore. This is an interesting thought. I've not heard that thought before. The thoughts just don't fit the new vibration. It's like oil and water in some ways, and the techniques, they feel like the pea underneath the bed that we feel, because our sensitivity is growing and certain things just don't align anymore. And it throws us for a tizzy for a while. And we supplicate and we call to God for understanding and clarity. And God really is not there to do that for us. In the process of actually supplicating and asking for support and help, we are really calling upon resources within ourselves to open up, to wake up. The flavor bursts that are existing within us that carry the information of the truth of our being are being knocked upon. The doors are knocked upon, and often they are opening right now. Too often, the flood of the information, the energy, also short-circuits us for a temporary time. There's a lot going on, people. And it doesn't take me or a rocket scientist to really get that there's a lot going on. I was really just talking to someone today. I was talking to my daughter, as a matter of fact, who, you know, the beauty of some of the kids now is that they're not mincing words, man. When something's not going right, they express it. They're not compromising their throat chakras and being, you know, being a good little boy or a good little girl. Not that expressing yourself would be that, but too often many of us grew up with the idea to, you know, speak, well, you know what I'm talking about. The energy is intense right now, and it seems overwhelming in one moment, and the next minute we find that we're liberated into a new frequency, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is just so beautiful. And then in the next breath, it's like, oh gosh, what's going on? It just seems so overwhelming. Am I exaggerating? Yeah, but no. I've gone through the same thing in the course of this latest range of energies that are moving on and coming in right now. It's a good time to use prayer. It's a good time to develop relationship, that common relationship, the connection with the divine in the external as well as the internal. Because both are relative to us and both are resources that we'd be fools not to take advantage of. Prayer lifts us out of resistance and inertia and activates the channels of receptivity. It acknowledges that we are not alone and opens our being to support and information and love. It actively seeks relationship with life and beyond. It becomes our multidimensional calling card that invites the cosmos to deliver to us the big picture. Prayer moves us beyond our own learned and adopted beliefs in limitations and reveals that we are oh so much more. Prayer becomes the initiatory conduit that creates and amplifies the flow. It opens inner doors and reveals the depth of our own being, inviting us to step out of the prison of the comfort zone. Prayer is the comfort of a friend, a longtime companion that is there in all forms and times of need or forgetting. Prayer is a reliable tool that expands the more we step into it and use it without hesitation. It is a conversation with God, with higher self, with our vast system of guides and energetic teachers. It is an inner call to connect, to get out of our own way and simply listen. There's a lot in this paragraph I just gave you. It lifts us out of resistance and inertia and activates the channels of receptivity. In other words, we take action. The act of actually making an expression in a prayerful way, which is a usually asking, is a change in the form of the moment. It's a change typically in our behavior. We reach out to a greater essence. We expand out of the blinding area that we live in to say, open up. That in itself is huge. It says we're not alone. It opens our being to support and information and love. By merely opening the door and acknowledging that we are not alone, new information comes in to support that opening. The vibration of love sweeps into us and may be all that we need in our process of finally letting go and asking for help. It says here that it actively seeks relationship with life and beyond. Too often in the inner space that we find ourselves with our challenges and our issues, we forget that there are resources available to us until perhaps it's too late or until perhaps we've suffered way too long. As we develop a capacity to have a consistent relationship with all of life, and that means the multidimensionality of it, inwardly and outwardly, we find that it flows. We find that it's a casual interaction between one another. The beseechment of God, the asking for support from the source, does not have to be this huge ordeal. It's as simple as acknowledging the connection and massaging the connection through awareness and through activity and through what we pay attention to. And the work that's done in the moments when life is in the flow prepares us to be willing to engage when life is not in a flow for us. And we end up not being so overwhelmed because we open to a guidance that is beyond the form of the moment, beyond our own blinders, beyond our own patterns of thinking and the belief systems that we carry that keep us in the eddy in the stream. Prayer moves us beyond our own learned and adopted beliefs. I just said that. It becomes our multidimensional calling card. I love that phrase. Thank you from wherever that came. It invites the cosmos to deliver the big picture. We just don't know. We just don't know what's coming in the next moment. Too often we put the blinders on based upon where we've been, based upon our own experience. I know someone who holds to the past so dearly out of fear that they're going to get something that is even akin to the woundings that happened before. And so rather than risk something new, they keep holding to that known form. And I see the hurt and I see the pain in their eyes. And I see the woundings that start to show up as the energies fester within the body. And I say, please, look at it differently. Look outward. Look inward. Look anywhere except where you are. Now, that sounds very contradictory. But what I'm talking about is that place, the comfort zone. In these moments when life slaps us in the face, the little child is activated because he or she is needing to survive. And the patterns show themselves. They are there before we even realize it. And they are exerting their influence and their pressure and pulling us in a sideways direction back to the same old, which really feels like safety. But by now, I've been harping on this for the last probably 5 weeks as we look through beliefs and whatnot, that it's we got to get out of our comfort zone. I was working with someone today, and a situation came up where the child had new awarenesses. It was an overnight activity based upon work done yesterday. And the child was asked to look at some of the established belief systems, the things that had determined existence. Well, actually, that was an earlier part which led to the actual thing, and I apologize for this. But what it is, it was an opportunity to really let go of the subtleties of issues like the fears, the angers, the beliefs, et cetera, et cetera. There ended up being about 15 different things. And what came up as the person worked with this was an awareness about that the child was really actually a bit afraid of what it was like without those things. That is totally legitimate. And too often it keeps us just doing the same old, same old. So what happened is there was a situation in the house where there was this beautiful kind of a half wall that opened up to keep the dogs in one room and separate from the other. So that wall became a perfect element for us to step from one reality to the next. And the invitation was for the little girl to acknowledge this element and let it go, and then step through the doorway, cross the threshold, through the safety zone, and see what life was like without it. It was really magical. It was really magical to see, in a sense, the transformations that occurred very quickly. And you could see it in her countenance, and you could hear it in her voice. We have this opportunity over and over and over again. But we get seduced. Too often we get seduced by the same old, because we may be too tired or unwilling. Prayer is a vehicle that moves us out of the same old. It is a doorway that if we choose to activate it, it can make a difference. It comes in a multitude of forms and practices. Each is useful and worth knowing and using. Each prayer is an action step, an acknowledgement of something bigger and beyond our own framework. Now, that's an inward and an outward, bigger in an inner way and also in an outer way. In this flowing relationship, we explore the greater dimensions of our own I am and move into the realm of oneness where the rules of physics fall away into the fantastic and the mystical. Prayer requires a willingness to leap forward in faith and then demands that we develop the muscles to listen and maybe even more importantly, act upon the guidance. Here is your leap of faith. It's that step into the unknown.
Song time.
According to my faith, just as I believe it, this is the world I see. I expand and open, knowing nothing is impossible. What I expect shall be. Unlimited God in me. According to my faith, just as I believe it, this is the world I see. I expand and open, knowing nothing is impossible. What I expect shall be. Unlimited God in me. Unlimited God in me.
Short and sweet. According to my faith,
just as I believe it, this is the world I see. I expand and open, knowing nothing is impossible. Why not? Why not? Prayer is exercising the faith wings. Prayer expands us. It reveals the grace of the cosmic design. It soothes our heart and soul. It ignites our movement and faith to live in the allness of life. It brings awareness and a deep knowing and trust and simply lures us into the loving arms of a multiverse that truly loves us. What's to be concerned about? I'd be running for that. I'd be running up that hill with no problems. All right, so let's move into the types of prayer. And what I'm going to do is give a name of one and then give a brief little description about it. And who knows what else will come. But the examples of that kind of prayer are going to be coming next week. So we'll look at a good smattering of all of these types, and we'll have an opportunity to actually utilize the energies and run through some prayers that I have found that actually seem to have substance to them. Oftentimes, the best prayers are the ones that just really pour out of your heart in the moment in time. So what I'm offering here and next week are really examples that you can build upon to create your own. Having said that, especially when we step into the realm of mantra and step into the realm of chant or even intentional song, these elements are fed with a vibration that literally calls the answer to the prayer to you. And therefore, in your conscious choice to utilize these resources, you can almost guarantee a result. Of course, it's modified to fit your perfect experience and your personal experience. Isn't that beautiful? Prayer comes in many sizes, shapes, colors, forms, and actions. Some empower, some disempower, and make us more and more dependent and powerless. For obvious reasons, we shall not entertain those. What's the point? Rather, we shall look at the prayer that serves the personal and collective I am that I am, affirming life and the complete embracing of who we are truly by design. Okay, so one of the types of prayer is contemplation. Opening up to reflection on the nature of life and the moments of living as they flow into life. It seeks insight and inspiration. Contemplation, contemplation, turning off the chatter, listening for guidance. Contemplation, contemplation, turning off the chatter, listening for guidance.
You see, the line between meditation and prayer is very, very small. They bleed into one another. They require one another in order for a process to take place. All of it begins to create a very soft space within us, and in the softness, it expands into a huge, huge receptivity pool that transmits intention and idea and waits and seeks and knows that information will come and awareness will come. It either comes from without or within. When I say without, it could come as a voice. It could come as a bumper sticker. It could come as a sign in the sky. When my mom died, before she died, she said, you look up in the sky and you'll see a cross. When two jets cross, I'll be thinking of you. And so for a while, it was really important for me to look up in the sky and to see those crossings. And when I saw them, then they weren't there every day. Even with all the chemtrails, they weren't. But when they showed up, it reminded me of a connection that was difficult and demanding and beautiful and all of those things. And it brought me to an awareness. And on the wings of those crosses in the sky, an insight came in. A moment of awareness that shifted the perspective I was in. And that happened more often than not. Prayer and contemplation. There are prayers that are beseeching. These are a little more emotional. It's a typical prayer of emotional nature to fix an issue. It's often spontaneous and shock-based, mostly unanswered, as the supplicant is really not focused enough to act upon it. This is an interesting element. Someone who's freaked out and is seeking some additional help because they are overwhelmed and all their normal channels are beginning to short-circuit will finally turn outward and look for God to come in and create an opportunity for a shift. It's in some ways folly and in some ways tragic and in some ways the perfect thing to do. Because stepping out of the moment and the form that we have held to, the comfort zone, then finally allows us to receive new guidance and to see that there are new possibilities. It's interesting to say that because of the emotional nature of it, too often the guidance is not heeded and not acted upon. But what does happen is that the emotional charge of it, the intensity and the flood of the emotion that is demanding the attention, gets expressed. And that's a good thing. Because on the other side of it comes the receptivity and awareness, and it may not come in the same breath. Most often it doesn't. You have prayers of contemplation. You have prayers of beseechment. Then you have guidance and answers or direction. This type of a prayer is driven by a moment or a need that wants to be given a broader or higher perspective. Not everybody is open to guidance. Not everybody wants to step outside of their ego-driven element and be receptive to another perspective. And that's a fear-based element. It's a child who trusts implicitly the way they see things and won't hear anything else. No, 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 don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. It shakes my world too much. And that's an emotional reservoir of energy. And once that reservoir is cleared by your conscious work to release these things and let them go, then the channel comes in and the information starts to drop in. The guidance comes in. The answers to a heart-centered question come in. And directions are given as far as new ways of doing things. There are prayers of healing and remembering. This, too, is probably an emotional element when someone has developed a condition because of their personal ignorance and unawareness and now are in a situation that is somewhat dire. That's when God becomes a real possibility for so many people. And really what this does in the big picture is open one up to the own inner guidance and the resources that exist that will create the healing state. So amen on that. Whatever it takes for someone to finally start listening to their own inner guidance and their capacity to create the perfect state for themselves, yay.
But if we need to, in the meantime, think that it's somebody outside intervening on our behalf, so be it. It's creating a shift in consciousness. Healing and remembering is a call to fix the body on all levels, but typically the physical. It's a beseechment, in a sense, to take away the symptoms, or at least return one to a state of balance. If someone is conscious, then there is a request to remember the original whole design. So the prayer to bring oneself back to their own inner knowing is a beautiful and powerful prayer. And in some ways, and often in all of these prayers, the less specific we are, the more relevant and the more greater the chance, that there will be a result to the request. And you do understand that when we are very specific about what we want, we do not pay attention to the subtleties and the nuances of the energies that are there for us and can come in to make all the difference. And there is the story of the man who was in a flood, and he had to go up on top of his house, and he said, "God, help me. Save me, God." And along came a man in a rowboat, and he said, "I'm waiting for God." And the rowboat went off. Along came a man in a motorboat. He said, "Get in." And he said, "No, I'm waiting for God." And then along came a helicopter with a rope hanging down, a rope ladder. And he said, "Yeah, climb up." And, "No, I'm waiting for God. God will save me." And then the water keeps rising, and pretty soon it sweeps over the house, and the man drowns. And as he stands at the pearly gates, or wherever they go, he said, "God, why did you fail me?" And God says, "Well, God, I sent you a rowboat, I sent you the motorboat, I sent you the helicopter." I think that's kind of funny. About our own blindedness to the form that we desire. That always comes from a limited perspective. It comes from the past experience, which too often is limited for each of us. Another type of prayer is a prayer of validation. This is really seeking witnessing from the higher source. Tell me everything will be or is okay. Just validate that I'm on the right path. Let me know. Give me a sign that what I'm doing here is in alignment with my highest purpose. However you want to phrase it. That is a need for validation and some support at a time when you feel kind of, wow, is this the right path for me? Give me a sign, God. And in that song, I did a song when my mother died. And the song really was about seeking that validation. And if I can remember it, well, it basically said just that. Just give me a sign. Give me a sign that there is some contact beyond the form, beyond the loss of that element. Give me a sign. And that's when the two jets in the sky came over. So, you know, we ask for so many different things through our prayer, but it is a fluid conversation. It is a known resource that we can turn to through, obviously, as you're seeing, a wide variety of ways. There's the prayer of intervention, and this is typically a fervent request for spirit to exercise the interruption, to alter the course or change the form of the current moment or condition. Intervene. God, take it away. God, help me. God, change the form of this. God, save me. Intervene on my behalf. And again, please underscore and understand the notion of all of these prayers, as helpless as so many of them sound, is that it lifts us out of the same old, same old. And it's bound to have an impact. It's bound to bring an insight of sorts. But again, if I'm looking for a specific insight, there's a good chance I'm going down with the ship. If I'm not open to the infinite possibility and the receptivity and the openness to all these possible ways of dealing with what it is that I'm dealing with, there's a good chance that I'll miss the boat. There are prayers of supplication. And this is the classic man on his knees begging for something, or woman on her knees, to beg for something to intervene as the condition has simply become too much. I don't know what to do, God. Take it away. You see, some of these bleed into one another. Some of them are so close. Intervention, supplication, and then there's the petitioning. There was an old Doors song, petition the Lord with prayer. You cannot petition the Lord with prayer. And then it went into some, can you find me sanctuary, whatever it went to. But that line was very strong. To petition the Lord is to make demands upon that energy to come in our place, to take care of us. This is really just like the people that wouldn't let me in down there. Me first, man. Me first. I'm petitioning and demanding that the Lord take care of my needs first. And too often, people who have become invested in rights and privileges for themselves, whether it's by birth, whether it's by achievement, et cetera, they put themselves above everybody else. And they make their own needs more important. That is a misuse of the vibration and a misuse of the energy that inevitably will result in some sort of compromise, some sort of humbling, we'll just put it that way. Prayers of thanksgiving and gratitude, these are very high frequency prayers because it's a form that acknowledges beauty or the receipt of assistance. It is a prayer of constancy, a dialogue with God in gratitude for the overall blessings of life. It's often non-directive, more a state of mind or a way of living in the flow. When you develop a heart that is open and you begin to see the magnificence of the world itself, of the natural world, of the design of people, of the way things work, when you start to see the pony in the poop, as the little boy would go ahead and try and find in that big pile of manure. There's got to be a pony in here somewhere. What faith. What a prayer of gratitude and trust that the world is really a magnificent place. So, you know, sure, beseech. Sure, petition. Sure, seek validation. Ask for healing. Yearn for guidance. Ask for specifics. And, more often than all of that, express gratitude for what for just the sheer beauty of life. You know, to watch the rain come down today, and where I was, it was out on a farm, and the energy was so intense out there. The wind was blowing it up to 50 miles an hour, and a waterfall was coming off the top of the roof. It was exciting. What's not to love there? What's not to get invested in? What's not to activate that sense of wonder that lives in the child heart that we put away, that's been tucked away in the drawer for too long? Thanksgiving, gratitude. There are prayers of praise and worship. And again, these are more often in the traditional religions where the deity, or at least the man-made form, demands that you celebrate and appreciate the deity. I lost my place here. Higher frequency appreciation of the God source, I said. And quite honestly, in Western civilization, Jesus gets this a lot. Everybody wants to worship Jesus. Everybody wants to celebrate, speak the name of Jesus. It's in songs. It's in the hallelujahs. It's in thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's in pointing the finger when the guy makes a touchdown or hits a home run and crosses the plate. It was God that did it. It was Jesus that did it. John 4:14 or whatever that number is. Come on. Come on. You know, God's got better things to do than oversee a guy making a touchdown or hitting a home run. What about the guy that threw the pitch? Was that a God act? Or was it that Satan at work there? Come on. Prayers of affirmation. Positive prayers, as they're called. Affirmative prayer is something that is a New Thought tradition. If there is such a thing. Unity is very active in affirmative prayer. It's claiming a condition or a situation as if it's already been answered. It's living in that frequency. It's working as if you don't need the money, and loving as if you've never been hurt, and dancing as if no one is watching. Why not? Why not? With that energy of claiming it as it already is, the energy is already moving out and marshaling the universal law, the cosmic law, to magnetize energy to make it so. They are powerful because they come from a very different place. They come from a will center, a strong will center that's grounded in the earth. And because the will center is making that demand, it magnetizes energy to create the form and owes so much more. There's a place for them all, but there are places where using things like affirmative prayer is really a better choice. I said affirmative prayer states the desired condition is already being received and applied like a thank you for that already happening. The perfect as-if prayer to steer energies toward the intended and desired condition. And then there's something called an invocation. Now, invocation is a prayer sent out for a specific intention. I said here that an invocation is the acknowledgement, celebration, and request of a higher power being, a source, the source, the angels, the archangels, ascended master. An invocation is a direct call to a specific source to make their power, to make their frequency available to you in this moment. Why not? In my chakra CDs on chakra 1 and chakra 2 and eventually all 7 of the front chakras, there is an invocation to not only the ascended master who oversees the chakra, but also the Elohim, the angels of dispensation who bring the energy to me in its personalized form, the archangel who oversees. There are songs to each of these. Invocations to the angels, to the Elohim, to the ascended masters to show up in their capacity to be present. And I call upon that. That is a conscious thing to do. There are prayers that are called proclamations. We use them a lot. It's an affirmative in the now statement of an intended condition. It calls upon higher frequency sources to make a situation so. It often accompanies a sincere decision to make significant change. And this is important. When you decide to make change, the universe just goes, all right, bring in the forces, make ourselves available. But with all of these prayers and guidance, we have to ask. And how willing are you to ask for help? That's another thing. That is another thing. Proclamation. From the divine love that flows within my being, I call forth all aspects of my being that are tethered to the earth to stand before me as I stand before you in love. I ask you now to integrate with me in unconditional love. I call forth all aspects of my being to stand before all other aspects of my being. I ask you to forgive all aspects and to accept forgiveness and embrace all bonds between you in unconditional love. I call forth the fragments of my being joyfully united to move through all time in peace and harmony, and so it is, and so it is. You feel the power of a proclamation. You feel the power of the decrees, the power of the invocation and the affirmative prayer, because they demand and claim action as it is. And the statement of, and so it is a statement that the deal has been sealed and the action only awaits our claiming it. How do you use prayer? Have you been aware that all these different types of prayer exist? Or is it really just, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the sorrow, Lord, my soul to take. Beautiful. And kind of helpless. What's going on there? What is going on? Is it a fear-based element that we call forth, or are we claiming our power and affirming life for ourselves? We have these choices, and now that we have names for a whole bunch of different prayers, man, the prayers are going to hit the heavens. They're going to spread out all over the place. They're going to confuse the wavelengths of the cell phones and the transmissions.
I can see it. Hallelujah. A decree is another statement of awareness and acknowledgement to a higher frequency source stating that this is so. It calls upon and activates powers of that being. Again, a lesser form than a proclamation, it's something that you, it's a statement that it is already so. You call upon the power and the capacity of a particular deity or a being or guide or teacher, and you bring them in for to support the moment and the forms of the moment. Can you get the feeling of how conscious this activity is? How open it is to call upon the resources that are there. Too many don't even know about the resources. And remember, it wasn't that long ago, yesterday, that we believed, and many still believe, that they have no contact with the source unless they go to the priest or they go to the rabbi or whoever. Good grief. A devotional prayer. A simple, heartfelt, high-frequency acknowledgement of a deep and fulfilling connection with Spirit. Thank you, God. This is just so beautiful. I'm so happy to have you in my life. I'm so happy to know that I and you are one. It's hard to connect from the idea that there's somebody outside of us. And that's okay. That's okay. It's the acknowledgement of the force itself and the willingness to even put forth the intention. And above all, speak the words that really puts things into place. And then there's a prayer of simply just listening. This is the capacity of completing the guidance or conversation with the source. Necessary to be open to receive so that action and change can be acted upon. Often simply listening allows unrequested guidance to drop in, a very high state of trust and flow. Learning to listen is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Within it, there's an inherent trust that your higher self, which is the source connection with the cosmos, as we have established, knows exactly what is necessary. So there's no reason to question what comes into one's life, to what stands before you in the moment at your altar of awareness, knowing full well that this is the gift of the time and the cosmos. Thank you, higher self. Let's go. What are we going to do with this? How are we going to embrace this? How are we going to engage this? Let's work together on this. This is the conversational prayer that we're capable of doing and that all of this is inviting us to do. It's to step into knowing that this is a casual process. It's like you and me sitting on the couch, God. We're just talking back and forth. And then I move to the section called More Types of Prayer. Taking prayer out of the traditional role of communication by speaking and listening will reveal a host of techniques that create a receptive state that allows guidance and direction and support to drop into our field of awareness. Getting out of our own way allows us to receive more fluidly without filtering due to patterning or toxic energetic residue. And most of these involve an action. Because it is the action that stimulates the cell to open, to create, to receive. It stimulates the cell to release the old and to open to the new. And that is fertile ground for guidance. Okay, examples of this, walking the labyrinth. Movement and contemplation interfaced with listening is what this is. It can be to problem solve, to access newer, higher perspectives, or to invite new vibration in. The spiraling movement activates cellular reception of information. Just like Sufi dancing does. Just like the process of going in circles. It's what we did as kids because really it just activates a very deep connection with the cosmos. At some point, we started to get dizzy and gave up on it. God, adults are stubborn. There has been around and still is available this series of things called the Five Tibetans. And the Five Tibetans is not a barroom joke. It literally is a process of five specific activities one does to really establish and maintain and deepen the connection with the cosmos. And one of them is to
turn. You do it slowly over time. When I was a boy, I was taking tap dancing lessons in second grade, it was. And I loved it. It was like I was Fred Astaire. Just was starting to get the buzz and starting to go in it. And then we started doing turns, and it took me a while. And finally, I was able to spot and almost was able to do it without feeling all kinds of dizziness. And the next thing I know, you know, in second grade class, they got wind that I was doing tap dancing, and they wanted to have me do it in show and tell. So I came in with my little tap shoes, and I did my little dance there in a couple turns, and it was really good. And everybody laughed. So you can imagine at that age what happened to my shoes. They went in the box, never did it again. And really, in a sense, what I've done since then, I turned to music and I became one who plays music while others dance. And I get the vicarious thrill of it. And I lead circle dances and I lead these universal dances, and I invite people to come in to experience that. So I find the way. It's not that I can't dance. It's just that I don't create the opportunity to do it. It's curious, isn't it? It's curious about these things. Another thing is to listen to music. Music activates cells and opens channels of receptivity. The music can create the roadway for information or insight. When the music is aligned in key, melody, lyric, rhythm, and intention, a great deal of high-frequency energy can be exchanged. Healings can take place in the moment if the song is in alignment. The vibration of the pitches and all of that, the tempo, all of those things. Super learning was a process that was sweeping the country and the world, really, in the 70s. And it was based upon the knowing that certain types of music, specifically music of classical music, would cause certain receptivities to happen and increase the capacity to learn and to make it happen in so much of a shorter time. And a lot of things are happening, and you heard music, oftentimes classical stuff played in classrooms and people listening on headphones. Somehow along the way, it got transferred into people studying by listening to music, and some of the music that they listened to, I can't see how you can concentrate at all. I really need quietness. Or I need Gregorian chant, because Gregorian chant is in the very frequencies that activate the vagus nerve, not the Las Vegas nerve, but the vagus nerve that runs from the inner ear in the brain down through the inner ear, down through contacting all the major organs through the body. It is one of those little conduits that is very potent. And voice and conversation and the use of the voice stimulates this nerve. And it activates awareness. And oh, so much more. Now, creating or playing music is another thing. The act of creation establishes a very receptive state involving the sacral center, the front and the back side of the will center, the heart center, the front and the back side of both the throat and the third eye, as well as the crown, which is the cosmic connection and the earth connection from underneath. In other words, it's a full chakra experience to be involved in creating. And because music is vibration, you're looking very, very much at frequencies that you are bringing in. Songwriters and people that are working with very specific keys and things, more often than not, it is about their own healing. If it benefits anyone else, amen. But really, if you look specifically at the process, it is really about doing work upon the Creator himself or herself. It opens up all the channels and is active as well. Okay, another thing in terms of types of prayer, dancing and movement. The body on all levels is vibration, moving cells and atoms and molecules. Dancing unites with this flow and results in powerful adjustments in existing energetic residue being released, which then opens up receptivity to allow guidance to move between the inner and outer realms. to dance for the sake of dance, to move, to allow yourself to connect with music, clears the debris and opens up the receptors, and the cells drink in the vibration. Visual stimulation as a form of prayer. Looking at a beautiful painting, a photograph, a piece of art, a natural scene, color, lighting, sunset, etc., stimulates a deep reverence for life and raises the frequency of the whole being. How often have you been stopped by a sunset, by a scene that is just, it takes your breath away? And in that moment where everything falls away except the power of that now moment and the vision that is feeding all your receptors on the very waves of that energy coming in from the solar frequencies, through the clouds, through the air, through the atmosphere, information comes in, and it gives you an insight. It gives you the inspiration. It gives you the answer to a problem or a challenge you didn't even know you had, or one that you've been seeking for a long time. To stop and receive is essential in this process. Is it meditation, or is it prayer, or is it both? Any kind of artistic creation, whatever it is that you are devoting yourself in, has the same impact as the musical creation. Involving the body, involving the emotion, involving the mental in terms of the actual process itself and the skill that's necessary to trust and follow, inviting the spirit in and ride that wave of the creative energy and to trust the guidance and to act upon it. Those are beautiful things. Another form of prayer is candle gazing. Focusing on the light transforms the state of mind through altering brain waves to increase the receptivity of the whole being, allowing messages to drop in. It can be intended or programmed to steer the nature of the guidance. You can candle watch because of the nature of the flame, the dance of that flame. I'm not sure that the little fake candles are going to do it, because their motion is too predictable. What you have with an actual candle flame is the randomness based upon the movement of the currents of air that gives the actual experience with the candle flame itself the depth and the meaning and the capacity to regulate the frequencies and to regulate the timing of that. It does a lot of stuff. It does a lot of stuff on the inside. And any time you look into light, the light delivers information. Nature walks. The negative ions in running water, the mountains, the deep forest initiate an altered state that cleanses energetically. This establishes receptivity and pulls us out of the common form and patterns to provide insight and inspiration. One form of meditation and one form of active prayer is to walk in nature. And the walk may begin with you just pondering what it is you're dealing with, but the next thing you know, that drops away and you open up receptivity to the vibration of the natural world. And that creates the doorway and the threshold upon which new information can come in. Gardening is a form of prayer. Hands in the earth is a powerful transformation process and a profound exchange of energies between you and the grounding and power source, yes. Anytime you make connection with the earth, you are doing prayer. Anytime you open and are receptive to that, the meditative capacity and the giving back, the asking for support, it's unprecedented in its capacity to move you into action. I kind of already said it, but being near water as a prayer, as established, water moves energy and creates the soothing negative ions. It also interfaces with emotion and moves them to release. If you have emotion moving, get near water. It facilitates the release of the emotion because that's what emotion is, energy in motion. And the movement of the water, the oscillating based upon the patterns and the energies of the moon, of those kinds of cycles, the movement of the earth, the rotations, all of that is moving that energy within us. Are you beginning to see the infinite capacity of how it is that we can create relationship with this planet and with all the resources available to us? I hope so. I do hope so. Mantra and chant. Mantras and chants are repetitive to steer the monkey mind out of its pattern. The intention behind the creation establishes a specific energy field in the chanter. The spiritual and conscious nature of the words brings an altered state that opens up the conduit to deeper inner and outer communication. I give a little love, I give a little light. It comes back round and I feel all right. Ah, life is good. Think of what is being said there. This is a recipe for peaceful moments. This is a recipe for creating relationship with the cosmos, for giving and receiving, for being open to trusting the flow of life and inviting the affirming that life is good. Life is not a random victimization process. It is a good, good thing, and the good is a higher frequency element of nurturing capacity of life, no matter the form. You give love, you give light, it comes right back around. It's a reciprocity, the law of reciprocity. Sounding and voice exploration. Sounding with the voice is really holy work. It stirs the cells, the tissues, and the soul to align with the cosmos. It clears the bodies of debris and brings a combination of relaxation and inspiration. I can feel it. I can feel parts of me that engage in that and create a tone, and it's like they're squeezing out the old debris, the old energy that's been held in a sort of blessing process that occurs. What a prayer I send out to the cosmos, to the actual vibration of the music that out is there, the music of the spheres, as it's called. I am making my connection and plugging in to that. And as I give out, it comes back and nourishes, washes over, washes through me, and lifts me beyond the forms of whatever I've been dealing with. Ritualizing is prayer. This creates a holy relationship on the wings of reverence and recognition of the divine and sacredness in all things, a testament to our importance and the conscious celebration of a special moment and process. To ritualize something is to give it respect. It's to honor it. It's to create a dance between you and the process itself. What a better, it's a beautiful affirmation of life. It's a beautiful affirmation of the interconnectedness of things. It's the recognition that as I give, so I receive. What a beautiful prayer process. And finally, it says eating and relationship with food. Pray with your food in gratitude and celebration and appreciation of its capacity to feed your life. We started with kinds of prayers that exist in traditional form about getting help and assistance. Those are beautiful. And those are situational, and they often come up spontaneously when we feel overwhelmed, too often coming from a place where we had no acknowledgement or a relationship with spirit to begin with. When the shit hits the fan, we start asking for help. Well, amen on that. And in the meantime, why not create and cultivate a relationship with life? Why not create and cultivate a back-and-forth level of communication that is deep and empowering for both elements? Because the more we give, the more we receive. The more we receive, the more we have to give. The relationship grows and leaps and bounds, and it spirals us into a... What? I don't even know what to say. It's like a juicy relationship with everything. And I use everything purposely here because it is everything. Prayer takes us out of our isolation. At the same time, it delivers us into the depths of our being because we seek deeply to listen for answers. And we ask for help from the external elements that live in the multidimensionality of the cosmos. We are not alone. We never have been. You can see that prayer is something that is a higher order process. It takes awareness to do it. It takes a consciousness to step beyond the existing forms and make a claim that there is oh so much more. It is a statement of power and foundation when we take action upon claiming life for ourselves instead of waiting for it to be delivered at the hands of FTD, UPS, the U.S. Postal Service, or the Catholic Church. What we're beginning to see is the folly of the way it's been. And that creates the foundation for a willingness to change and to explore and to step into the oh so much more. We are finding that we are beginning to yearn for that which we deserve. And it's an inner yearning that is beginning to show itself. The yearning is just for that which we have always been. It's a coming home to that vibration that then opens up the frickin' panoramic doors that says, here you go, buddy. Enjoy. So yeah, pray when you get scared. Pray when you feel hurt. Pray when you have an owie. But also pray a lot more when things are going great. Maintain and massage the connection through the prayer and the receptivity of meditation. You see, everything we've said here is a form of meditation. So doing the transcendental meditation form where you do 20 minutes a day in a certain spot, yeah, that's great. But too often that's something for someone who has the vibration in their being because they grew up in culture and civilization in the East where that was given as quickly as mother's milk was given, that process. In the Western world, we're about doing and taking action and having success and all of that. That's part of the vibration that has transformed the world. So maybe the form of meditation or prayer that is prescribed ain't the one for you because it just doesn't resonate with your frequency. So as you can see, there's a whole bunch of other ways to do it. And I would imagine that you will be inspired to find your own ways and to add to this ever-growing list of ways, principles of prayer and meditation. So over the course of this week, I invite you to just be receptive to life. Be active in life. Put out appreciation, especially gratitude. Notice the world. Ask for what you want. Open up these conduits and channels and start to notice. And so it is, and you know, all this and so much more. All this or something better are perfect endings to reinforcing the receptivity and the trust in the cosmos and the belief in something that is really here in alignment with us as opposed to pushing and forcing us to be something else. So, we've reached our time. So I guess I did have an hour and a half worth of information here. We'll look next week at some very active prayers, and you may have some beautiful ones of your own. If you got them, send them to me. Something that's worked for you, why not? Send it to me in an email through the course of the week. And, you know, I'll put them in. I'll put them in, you know, and make them available to others. You know, even the Lord's Prayer that has been done now in the Aramaic and reinterpreted by different individuals, it is rich and engaging and has substance to it, far beyond the pattern repetition of what we did before. And I am not contradicting myself by saying that repetition and patterning are a bad thing. That's the very nature of intentional songs and mantras and chants and changing our old behaviors. But when we lose the heart connection with the things we are saying, they become empty. There's been too much that's empty. We don't need more empty. It's time to fill up. It's time to, well, it isn't even filling up. It's filling it up and then having the conduit that allows it to release itself and move on and to bless everything and to bless all as we keep receiving more. It's a bottomless, bottomless area. It's not a pit by any means. It's an infinite source that we have within us and an infinite resource that we have to receive and also to give at the same time, to be in the flow. And prayer, meditation, those processes are being in the flow. Thank you so much for being a part of tonight. Next Tuesday, we'll be doing activity in relation to prayer, the conscious choice or the conscious connection. So any comments or questions, put them out. Otherwise, we are done tonight, and I will terminate the recording.
Hi, Mark. This is Kimberly.
Kimberly, hi. How are you?
Hi. Good. I have a question.
Yes.
Okay. Over the past 2 or 3 weeks, I guess, I've been experiencing a feeling of, I guess you would call it unsettledness.
Right.
I feel like I'm being pulled apart inside, like everything's wrong, but there's nothing really wrong. It's just, it feels very chaotic.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that's because I'm starting to really feel the changes in myself, the vibrational shift.
Yeah. I would support that completely.
Yeah.
You know, when the old debris and the old forms start to move energetically, they sometimes sweep back through the system, and we get a little taste of what it was that was held there in the first place, the old energies, and sometimes the actual experience of what held them in the first place, and the discomfort or the woundings that occurred. And so we get sometimes when it releases just a little taste of it all. And with so many things moving within us and being cleared, we're getting a mixture of a lot of things that we've held on to. And so that creates that unsettling energy that seems to be sweeping everybody. You're not alone in having that happen. I'm going through it myself.
Okay.
So in those moments, we go back to the trust of knowing that it really is a temporary process and that what's happening is new awakenings. So you start looking and changing your focus to elements that are, look for beauty. Look for elements that support a higher vibration for you. Honor the movement. Honor the change. And if it comes out as tears, if it comes out as anger, whatever, you express it all in safe ways. And know full well that a rebirthing is happening. A reawakening is occurring that is delivering to you new information. And first, you have to create the room for it. And that's what I believe is going on and what you're experiencing.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
You are so welcome. Okay, anything else? All right, then we are done now. Blessings to all.